Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com. Shawa, Tuxknussum, Salama, thank you. Welcome to Juno Afternoon, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan on community-supported KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. You may also join us via our live stream on YouTube at ktoo.org/JPMLive or on KTOO's Instagram and Facebook pages. Conversations for this Thursday, October 30th. Juno Parks and Recreation Department, Tara Patterson, is here with news this year on the Winter Pass, this new one coming up, upcoming swim lessons as well, and the open turf at the Fieldhouse. Hockey in Juno is growing, and you can get involved. We chat with the Juno Adult Hockey Association about their classes and the league. And the Juno Public Libraries has you covered for events and activities for this blustery November. Jen is here to share what's coming up. That's coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon. And a quick programming note, tomorrow we will revisit Folkfest 2025 with a look back at some of the artists and songs that played here on the red carpet stage during Juno Afternoon on that Folkfest week. Consider it complimentary or alternative programming for your Halloween weekend. Boo. And also from the In Case You Missed It files, KTOO reporter Yvonne Crumry had a preview of a story about in Juno, young people have a new way to find their voice. This fall, a podcast club for youth is teaching technical skills and encouraging kids to explore their creativity through audio and video. And their first big project, inspired by Halloween, puts a new twist on an old fairy tale. Here's that story from Yvonne Crumry.
All right. Quiet on set. Roll tape. We on.
Levi Spaulding directs a room full of middle schoolers in front of mics and mixing boards, wearing headphones and costumes. The kids are part of a digital media club that meets in the new Indigenous Sciences Building on the Alaska Heritage Institute's campus, which features a recording studio. Penny Mays practices her interviewing skills under a bright red hood.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Little Red Riding Hood, and we're here today with Mr. Wolfie Wolferson. Give a hand and get your bear spray out.
They're recording an on-camera podcast, and Penny's demanding answers to the hard questions.
So, Wolf, why did you eat my grandma?
Lucas Keller answers her through a plastic wolf mask.
I didn't.
Lies.
Corey Wolf is the instructor. He has a background in documentary film and wants to use his skills to help kids find theirs.
By giving them a space where they can learn the technical skills, it also gives them a space where they're working with others as a team. So just allowing each of the different gifts that come into the room, allowing those gifts to flourish.
He says the kids are inspired by podcasts, which have blown up for younger audiences over the last few years.
All of the kids have their favorite podcast. A lot of them that come to my class actually have a vision for their own podcast.
And while they're working on a Halloween-themed exclusive interview now, upcoming programs will continue to build the skills they need to launch their own projects.
Kind of the motto of that space is to give our young people a voice.
The podcast, audio and video, will debut on Halloween at the Zach Gordon Youth Center. The program is open to kids in grades 5th through 12th in Juneau. They just need a voice and maybe a sense of humor.
Anyways, I heard you're a vegetarian now?
Yeah.
How's that going? Do you like the broccoli?
In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery.
You are listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau, Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. You can also join us on the live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. As the weather begins to turn, you and your family may be looking for some indoor activities to keep you active and busy. Well, the Juneau Parks and Recreation Department has you covered. There's a bunch of things going on. Tara Patterson joins me now to share details on this year's Winter Pass, upcoming swimming classes, an acting class that starts next week, and open turf at the Diamond Field House. And of course, that premiere tomorrow, Tara, of the podcast, the youth group over at Zach Gordon Youth Center, which is also part of the Juneau Parks and Recreation Department.
It is. We do a lot over there at Zach Gordon Youth Center.
Yeah, absolutely. So, well, Gunnith Cheesh for being here today. Wasiyati, how are you this afternoon?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Well, let's start with this acting class that's going next week, because that's sort of the first thing up. Tell me a little bit about that, how what it's going to be, and how people might be able to find out more information.
Yes. So it's 6 classes over 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. Starts next Tuesday and runs Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, like I said, for 2 weeks. It is for kids age 13 to 19. I guess I shouldn't even say kids. It's for high school teenagers.
Young adults, I think they like to be called now.
Thank you. That was the term I was searching for.
Yeah.
And we can take up to 12 students. We need more kids in the class, though, or young adults in the class.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm struggling with that one. And they will have a culmination of a performance at the Gold Town Theater on November 14th after they're done with all of the classes.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do people find out more? They go to Zach Gordon or?
Yes, or they can register on the Parks and Rec website.
JunoParks.org.
Thank you. That's the one. And I should say the registration deadline is Sunday.
Okay.
So
you got to get in there.
Try and get registered before that.
13 yes. and 19, acting class. It's only a 2-week commitment. And you can find out more at JunoParks.org. I think I was on there earlier today and I saw it there. It just said, yeah, young adult acting class. So
yes. If
you've got a kiddo who's interested in some acting, Or I think that's a great place to start. Donnie Gott, who's teaching the class, is an excellent. She's taught Shakespeare over at Perseverance. She's done a lot of things. You may have seen her in Romeo and Juliet recently. She's a big supporter of theater in the community, and she's a great teacher. Great teacher.
I've heard good things about her.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the other thing that's sort of huge is the Winter Pass. Is this like the fourth or how many years is the Winter Pass? This is kind of a newer thing, right?
I have to tell you, I've been here 3 years and it's been around longer than me. I believe this is the 5th year, but I'm not certain of that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do know it is one of Juneau's favorite things that Parks and Recreation offers. It's a great price for a whole bunch of different opportunities.
Yeah, so tell me, what is the Winter Pass?
So the Winter Pass gives access to several different parks and recreation facilities. Diamond Park, Aquatic Center, the Downtown Pool, Augustus Brown, the Treadwell Arena, the Field House, and this year we've added pickleball at Floyd Dryden Gym as part of the Winter Pass, as well as the open gym at Mount Jumbo Gym. So lots of different programs and activities for all ages included in that Winter Pass.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yep. And the great thing about the pass is it goes all winter. So it starts on November 1st, and then it runs through March 31st.
So, oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so that's a long time.
It is a very long time. It's basically 5 months of activity, and then it costs $200. So, you know, you get all of those different access to all those different activities and facilities for 5 months.
That's pretty awesome. And it helps to get people indoors. It's cold, but you need a place to go. You need to swim in the pool. You need to play in the field house. You need to go to Treadwell Arena, maybe do a little skating around, all that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity to be active.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And so is that also on the JunoParks.org website?
Yes, it is. And you can purchase it under the winter pass option.
I think it starts, you said it starts on Saturday, right? November 1st.
Yeah, it starts on Saturday.
So does that mean winter's here, Tara?
Technically, I don't think it starts till December 21st.
Yeah, something like that.
But we like to give a little extension on, you know, winter options.
And the temperature's telling me that it's kind of getting to be winter.
Absolutely, yes.
Which is okay.
I'm feeling that too.
and it's getting so dark so fast. We're losing light really fast. It's pretty amazing. Like right after the show, pretty much, it's almost dark. that's kind of nuts. So, okay. So that, again, is valid from November 1st. You can buy it now, right? It just starts on November 1st.
It starts on November 1st,
yeah,
yes.
But you could buy it today?
Yes.
Okay. So you can buy it, but you can access it as of November 1st. It runs through March 31st. Last day to buy it is January 31st to get, like, the last couple months in.
That's correct. It's no longer a deal, really, if you buy it in February.
That's true. It gets a little expensive at that point. But I love that you've added pickleball. That's really cool. And did you mention, the preschool open gym,
The preschool open gym is part of it as well.
Yeah, at Mount Jumbo. It's a great deal for families, and especially in these time crunch of money these days.
Yes.
I think that's a fantastic activity for families and individuals. Okay, cool. So we've covered acting class. We've covered winter pass. It's so many things.
And we've got more.
And now we can switch to JunoPools.org, which is your area of expertise. And you've got some classes that are coming up.
We do. We have swim lessons coming up. We do swim lessons throughout the year. Mm-hmm. So this is our second fall session, and it starts the second week of November, November 13th through December 11th at the Diamond Park Pool. Those are Tuesday and Thursday classes, and then November 12th through December 10th at the Augustus Brown Pool, and those are Monday, Wednesday classes. Mm. Our swim lessons generally fill up pretty quick, and so the important date for people to remember is Friday, November 7th at noon. That's when registration opens online, and some of the more popular classes are full in a few minutes. So,
which are those classes? Which are the popular ones?
The preschool classes tend to fill up a little bit quicker. We have a smaller ratio. You know, it's one teacher for every four kids.
Right.
You can imagine. You can imagine you don't really want, you know, 8, 3, and 4-year-olds in the water with one adult. Wouldn't work well. So those generally go a little bit faster than the others, but it depends. Sometimes we have classes not fill up that surprise us that we expect to, and vice versa.
And are there classes for all ages?
So these classes specifically are for ages 3 to 12.
Okay.
We do offer classes for all ages. In fact, I guess I need to correct what I just said, because we are also offering an adult swim lesson session at Diamond Park during that time. So that's ages 13 and up. And then we are currently already offering our parent and taught class, which is for babies. So we offer swim lessons for all ages, but these are specifically ages 3 and up that registration will be opening for.
Okay, great. And when you take a class, do you get like open swim options too, like times to go do open swim, or does the pools have open swim? How does that work?
We do have open swims, but they are a separate time.
That's why you got to get the winter pass.
Exactly. Okay. So class times range anywhere from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay.
So, you know, we basically have classes kind of back to back with a couple minute break in between. So open swims are a different time. We definitely have those. Friday through Sundays at Diamond Park, although we also have public hours Monday through Thursday.
I see.
And then we have public hours Monday through Sunday at the downtown pool as well.
And the best place to get all that information is, again, junopools.org. I love that we've shortened some of these URLs. They take you to the long links, but it's great because Juno Pools and Juno Parks. All you got to remember is Juno Pools and Juno Parks.
It's pretty easy.
And then, so lastly, the open turf at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse. What's this all about?
Well, it's a great opportunity for people to come in and use the turf, you know, in a dry area. Participants are welcome to play, you know, play soccer or run, scrimmage with some friends, just stretch out. But it's Monday and Wednesdays from 3 to 5 p.m. And then I'd also mention my favorite thing at the Fieldhouse. We have open track starting at 5 p.m. And that's a great one if you want to, if you're used to walking or running all summer long and the weather's starting to get gross and you don't want to do it outside. So that's not really what I'm here to push today, but I'd just say that's one of my favorite things to do at the Fieldhouse.
Absolutely. The Fieldhouse has so many options, right? Yeah, it's kind of great. And that is that, and how does that work, open turf at the Diamond Park Fieldhouse? Obviously, if I get the winter pass, I'm able to access that. But
other,
if I don't have the winter pass, then what do I do? Do I pay a fee? Or?
There is a participant, like a drop-in fee.
Drop-in fee.
Which you can find on junoparks.org.
Okay.
And then there are also like punch pass options.
Oh, you could buy like 10 times, things like that. Exactly. Okay. And you can do that for the pools too.
Correct.
Okay.
And then there's also just monthly passes if you don't want to commit to the whole winter.
Right, right, right. You make it convenient for everyone.
We try.
Give you a lot of options.
Yes. Options are our thing. At Parks and Recreation.
I love that, of course. Okay, so there's the acting class for next week. There's swimming classes starting up soon. Registration for the acting class closes on Sunday, so get yourself over to junoparks.org for that. Junopools.org is where you can find info on these classes. The registration opens Friday, November 7th at noon, and as Tara said, they fill up pretty fast, especially those tot ones. And then, of course, open turf and also the winter pass, the great opportunity to get yourself inside, away from all this blustery weather, and have fun with your family indoors.
Right. Great way to stay active and stay dry.
I appreciate that. Tara, thanks so much, Gwyneth Cheesh, for telling us all about it. I really appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
This is Juno Afternoon on KTOO. We're going to listen to this week's Our Living Lands from Native Voice One. Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Alaska Airlines Club 49. Membership information available at club49hub.com.
This is Our Living Lands, and I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In the last story in a three-part series about a nickel refinery in Oklahoma, KOSU's Sarah Lisi highlights what is at stake for those involved. The company trying to help secure the U.S.'s critical mineral supply chain and the tribal nations who oppose it.
All right, everybody, come on into the arena. Go dance your little hearts out. We got...
It's a hot July afternoon. Comanche tribal citizens and visitors are socializing and dancing at the Comanche Nation's annual homecoming powwow in southwest Oklahoma, about a 30-minute drive southeast of the tribe's headquarters in Lawton. Gatherings like this powwow are integral to sustaining Comanche culture. So is their Oklahoma homeland, says Forrest Tadanipa, the Comanche Nation's chairman.
Things like culture and language, we do our best to make them accessible to the diaspora, but you absolutely need to have people living together to have culture.
Kiowa, Comanche, and Apache, or KCA tribal nations, share a reservation.
We're permanent members of this community, right? We were here before, and now we're here now, and we hope to be here into the future.
Since Westwind Elements started pushing ahead with its plans to refine nickel, KCA tribal citizens fear what they stand to lose if the worst were to occur at the plant near their communities.
If, you know, there were an environmental catastrophe and it did have to cause people to kind of scatter, you know, that would then just be the slow death of the entire culture and language.
Transition minerals, such as nickel, can be used in rechargeable batteries and electric cars. In the long run, they can help combat climate change. But studies have found more than half of energy transition minerals are located on or near indigenous lands. Mining is dormant in southwest Oklahoma, and Westwind does not mine its own ores. However, it relies on mine product for its nickel refining process, which can turn fatal if not done correctly.
We already have so much global pessimism on us.
That's Kaylee Long, the CEO of Westwind Elements.
Why would you do it in the U.S.? It's the worst place to operate. Permitting's horrible. It's so expensive. So certainly, if we failed, it would further probably bolster the global sentiment that don't manufacture in the United States of America.
But Long wants to prove those skeptics wrong because she, too, has a lot at stake trying to operate America's first major nickel refinery.
Pretty much every dollar to my name. I'm the sole financial provider for my two children and me. There is no, you know, rich daddy or granddaddy waiting on me on the other side.
Long says her mission is to decrease the U.S.'s foreign reliance on critical minerals, which are crucial for the national economy and will minimize geopolitical risk. She hopes to clean up a notoriously dirty industry, ensuring ethical mining and environmental practices. But in many cases, indigenous people across the globe resist the critical minerals industry because it can disrupt and/or even destroy ecosystems and their ways of life. Christina Cooper runs the Comanche Nation's Office of Environmental Programs.
I think the concern will always be there just because of the hazards that are possibly there, and not necessarily just with Westwind, just Industrial Park as a whole.
Lawton houses a growing Goodyear tire manufacturing plant, paper factory, and a prospective rocket fuel company called Firehawk Aerospace, and of course, Westwind Elements, which recently entered into two sales purchase agreements totaling $1.7 billion in committed revenue. Cooper says despite concerns that Westwind is an environmental threat, it's meeting criteria. And no matter what happens, her department will continue to monitor the air and water quality to ensure the well-being of their community remains strong and healthy, because their culture depends on it. For KOSU, I'm Sarah Lisi.
This story is supported by the Earth Journalism Network and was the last in a series about the KCA community and Westwind Elements. To read and listen to the whole series, visit kosu.org. I'm Antonia Gonzalez for Our Living Lands, a collaboration of Kuwanic Broadcast Corporation, Native Public Media, and the Mountain West News Bureau.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
This is Juno Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO. I am your host, Boston Christopher. You can also join us on our live stream on KTOO's YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram pages. Perhaps you, like many others, are taken, maybe even obsessed, with hockey. It's certainly a sport that many an Alaskan has a passion for. But have you wanted to get back on the ice, make a go of it in a local league, or just dabble a little and take some classes and find out what it's all about? Well, the Juneau Adult Hockey Association has you covered. And here to get us more informed, I have three ice bandits in the studio with me today. I have Dom Panone, who is the president of the board for the Juneau Adult Hockey Association. Actually, all of you are board members. I have Caitlin Cardinell, who is a board member and the D-tier rep. We'll find out what that means. And then Chris Kutu, who is the 35-plus rep. So, Gunathchish, Caitlin, it's nice to see you. How are you today?
Gunathchish, I'm great. How are you?
I'm excellent. Thank you so much. And Dom, welcome in. Wasiati, how are you?
Boston, glad to be here.
Thank you so much. And Chris, welcome. Thank you, Gunathchish, for being here.
Great. Thanks. Thanks for having us.
So, let's get started with, what is the Juneau Adult Hockey Association? Let's go to the president of the board.
All right. Great question. So, the JAHA is what we call ourselves.
Oh, you call it JAHA.
Juneau Adult Hockey Association.
Okay.
Nonprofit 501c4.
Okay.
And our goal is to promote adult hockey in Juneau and develop players and make sure that people in our program are growing and having a great time. So who are we? We're about 386 members right now. We've grown significantly in the last few years. So to give you an idea, in 2012, we had 245 members.
Oh, wow.
So we're at 386 now and growing. Kind of our demographics, about a third of our players are women. 16% of our players are over 50.
Oh, wow.
And we have over a dozen players who are in their 60s and 70s even. So that kind of gives you an idea. But we have a huge, it's a very inclusive and welcoming hockey community that we have.
What do you attribute the growth of hockey over the last, what you said, like it sounds like 13 years or so. What do you contribute that growth to?
I think where I would say it contributes to is we've put a lot of effort into our tri-hockey events, where what we'll do is we'll have gear ready for someone who's never been on the ice, and we'll suit them up and we'll get them on the ice for an hour. We also have a intro to hockey program that people can register for, which is 8 sessions, and they'll get on the ice and it's just learning how to play. We also have put a lot of effort into our D tier, which is our beginners tier, which has adult coaches, and Caitlin can talk about that.
Yeah.
And that brings in new players, and that keeps the pipeline of players coming. So we've had a lot of interest in people trying to
play. Yeah, because I grew up north, up in Anchorage, and I knew hockey was huge there. The further north you go, it seemed, you know, the colder it gets, so the more there is, I think. I never played it myself. I also feel like that tri-hockey sounds really interesting, because I think one of the things that people probably are concerned with in terms of getting started is just equipment costs and things like that. The equipment can be expensive. But Caitlin, tell me how you got involved in the Juneau Hockey Adult, the Juneau Adult Hockey, Jaha. Let's just go with that.
We can call it Jaha.
Yeah.
Well, to start, I would say that I grew up in the hockey capital of the United States.
Rhode Island.
That is Minnesota.
Oh, man.
Nice try, Chris. And believe it or not, I played for the opposite team. I was a competitive figure skater for 15 years of my life.
Okay.
When I moved up to Alaska 13 years ago, I lived in a small community that did not have access to an ice rink, so I was fairly ice deprived.
Mm.
When I moved to Juneau about 2 years ago, I joined the figure skating club, not to plug the adult figure skating club, but there is a figure skating club as well.
You're all friends.
Absolutely.
I had learned about hockey through my involvement with the Juneau figure skating club, and had a couple of friends playing in D tier. So, being the rink rat that I am, I registered and did the intro to hockey. I also signed up for tri hockey, which happened before the season started. I got to try on a full set of hockey gear. I had my own hockey skates, and they give a stick to you.
Had you ever played hockey before?
No.
Wow. Okay.
I will admit that I have somewhat of an advantage being so versed on blades.
Right.
You know, granted, the hockey skate doesn't have a toe pick. I could get around the ice fairly well.
But you also, how much does the equipment weigh when you put it on? Does it add a significant amount of weight?
It's surprisingly light. It's just a little bit more bulky.
Yeah.
However, when I am speaking to people who are new on skates and to hockey, I try to encourage them to use the padding to their advantage, because one of the first and most important skills that you learn on any type of blade is the right way to fall.
Mm.
And so one of the things that we do in tri-hockey is we get everyone out there, and then we encourage them to take as many shuffles as they can and then slide on the ice, and we teach them how to get up properly.
I see.
Because there are right ways to fall and wrong ways to fall on the ice. So we
Absolutely.
Just want to make sure that everyone is staying as safe as they can be.
And do you all, is it everything happen over at Treadwell, or is there also other areas that you can skate in around town?
During the wintertime, there'll be some coordinated efforts to get on the ice that freezes out by Twin Lakes or
yeah.
out in the glacier. People will be getting together to skate. And But for any kind of organized events, it's Treadwell is the sheet of ice that everyone uses.
Yeah, sometimes in the it gets to be like late spring, Chris, and I see people out on Twin Lakes, and I'm like, what are you doing out there? It's like it's starting to melt, isn't it? Like, how thick does it have to get out at Twin Lakes before y'all can feel like getting out there?
Oh, I know that they, you know, you guys got the fire department and guys like Brian Weed go out on Mendenhall Lake. We'll go ahead and test the lake, and I think 4 inches or so is what is recommended.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I mean, I don't put
don't
my,
quote my, me. Yeah.
Twin Lakes is fairly shallow.
Yeah.
You'll see, there's no real test out there. You'll see people out there shoveling and skating whatever they can. And
yeah.
So I don't know if there's a true. I'm sure there is a scientific measure of where you know.
I think
someone
4 inches.
Like skate,
I think 4 inches is pretty safe.
Yeah, that seems pretty good.
You could probably skate on an inch thick. I need 4 inches.
So tell me a little bit about what D tier means, Caitlin.
Sure. So before I can talk about D tier, I want to talk about all of the other tiers to give you a little bit more perspective.
Yeah, I guess there's A, B, C, and D.
There is A, B, C, and D, and that makes up the co-ed mix, not mixed skills, co-ed portion of Juno adult hockey. D tier is more of what we would call the entry level. When you register for JAHA, you rate your skill level and with a set of points, and you kind of self-place yourself. A lot of people who have never played hockey before obviously will end up in the D tier. And it's a co-ed league. We have usually between 3 and 4 teams in D tier. We have gear that is available for rental, which a lot of our D tier players take advantage of because they are new to the sport. A lot of folks are new to the sport. And one cool thing about our D tier program is that we have a volunteer coaching staff for each team, all of which were starting out as adults learning how to play hockey. So it's really advantageous because I myself, even though I have skill on the ice, I've never played a team sport in my life. And so learning from somebody else who didn't grow up with a stick and a puck in their hands can explain things in a little bit more of a way
less
that makes
jargony,
sense to us.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, less jargony and for those beginners. So that's awesome. So that's a place people can go. And then, Chris, tell me a little bit about the adult 35 plus. You're the rep for that. Are those different teams than in the D tier, or can people cross over? Or tell me a little bit about 35 plus.
Yeah, that's you hit the nail on the head, is people can cross over. And so my tier is not a skill-based tier. It's an age-based tier. And so in 35 plus, we'll get skaters who are B-level skaters, A-level skaters, and C-level skaters. Not so many D, because D are really just starting out. And so we get a mixed gender. So we have both male, co-ed, and then playing. And it tends to be the larger of the tiers within JAHA this season. We have 6 teams, and quite frankly, that division could grow if we had more ice time. Ice time is certainly a limiting factor here in town.
A lot of people using Treadwell, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, we're skating at, you know, our games are at 10:30 and 10:45 at night. And,
oh, wow.
And not all the games, but, just, you know, it gets our scheduler doesn't punish, you know, one particular team. It gets spread out. But, the fact that JAHA has that option for folks as they age here in town, there's quite a few skaters in town who are over 35, over 40, who are great skaters, skated all their lives, and this league gives them an opportunity to continue skating. And they have an option of skating in the A, B, or C tier. So we have an option of playing 2 tiers. Gives you extra ice time.
Do the rules change for the 35 and up group? I mean, is there
slightly? You know, in order to, you know, there may be a ringer or two on a team, and we'll cap their goal capability at, you know, that person can only score 3 goals in a game, and we had to do that a couple seasons ago. We had one guy scoring 7 goals in a game, and we're like, hey, look, you know, you got to knock that off. You'd hope that that self-regulates, but,
right,
you know, for that. But other than that, we don't take slap shots. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to make sure that no one's getting hurt. That doesn't mean that the puck isn't zinging around the ice. It is. It's just not zinging as great as it could be.
And so the only reference I have to this is the movie that came out, Goon, and the sequel, of course. But so there's no goons in the 35 plus.
I'm a goon.
you look like a goon, Chris. Yeah. I would be a goon too, I guess.
No, there's no checking in the league.
Yeah,
there's no checking in the league, and
in any of the Jaha, right?
All of Jaha,
all of Jaha. Right. Nobody wants to get hurt. So, right?
Something we say is we all got to get up and go to work tomorrow.
Right.
And I think that's part of the growth of hockey. And Juno, one of the first questions you asked is that people. First of all, it's an active community.
Mm-hmm.
People need to get up in the morning. They got to go to work. And if you look at the activities around through the wintertime and the early spring, you know, hockey is one of the few sports that you can play well into your 70s. There are 80 plus teams out there that are traveling around and playing fine hockey. And the injury rate with hockey is much less than softball or basketball. You're not twisting ankles. You're not pounding your knees. And I think that that's really attractive to folks, and you can get out there and get some exercise, and then on a team activity in a fun environment, being led by folks like Dom. I've been on the board for now 6 or 7 years, and the leadership of Jaha has been, keeping it a fun environment and keeping costs low.
Yeah.
And it attracts great people, and the community itself is really welcoming.
And so, Dom, tell me a little bit about how do people get involved? What's the best place to start? The Try Hockey, probably, but how do they find out more? Where do they go to get the info? And what does it cost me?
Yeah, this is a great question. And I grew up in Anchorage, too. I went to Chugach High School, and I didn't start till my 30s, about 10 years ago. So you go to junohockey.org or go to our Facebook page. We're going to have a registration that's open November 3rd, Monday at noon. Mm-hmm. You can contact us. You can actually go to our website and see our schedule. You could go to the rink and watch some of our games even.
Mm.
But like Chris said, it's a great activity for the winter. It's a season costs about $245. And then there's a registration fee with USA Hockey, our parent organization. That's $52. But for that, you get 12 games and then at least 2 playoff games over 3 months. I think that's about $20 a game.
Mm-hmm.
And, I love Eagle Crest. That's $75 a lift ticket. And, you know, what's a gym membership? I think you get a lot of value for hockey. A lot of people think it's too expensive. Plus, there's a lot of folks that'll sell you used equipment or give you their hand-me-downs. And we have a rental program, too. We keep it very...
And I'm sure there's probably, we were talking to the ski swap people yesterday, and I'm sure there's things that happen at the ski swap next weekend, I think it is, or something like that. And it's people bring their winter gear and might be able to find some hockey gear at the ski swap. I have no idea.
I got my full hockey set up at the Second Wind sports store.
Oh, Second Wind. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. It's nice because people can get to a beginner's version of this without any equipment, right? You'll help them out. With the Try Hockey. And is that like you said, like it's like an hour class? Is that how that works?
Yep. It's an hour on the ice and maybe 2 hours.
Probably takes an hour just to get into the gear.
We get you outfitted, show up a half an hour early.
We
get you outfitted in gear, make sure everything fits, show you how to tie your skates up. And then we kind of break out into groups. And, you know, one group is teaching a stick skill, one group is teaching ice skills, and
I see.
Depending on how much experience you have on the ice, we may put you in a different
there's a league, but all these different tiers have, like you're saying, they have games, and you're playing the other teams in because there's 300 and however many people you said, Dom, like there's a lot of people in this.
386. Yep.
So there's a lot of team. How many people on a team?
Well, it varies. There's about 12.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you've got 5 skaters on the ice at a time and a goalie, and you're swapping with someone. You're out there skating for a minute, and you come off exhausted.
Yeah, I would be.
And then you switch with someone, they go out and hold the position and then for a minute, and then so you're swapping off like that. It's a great workout.
That is so cool.
About 12 people per team.
And so, Dom, I know you had given me some thoughts, too, on are you all looking for ways to find, because I know we're talking about playing these games at 10 o'clock at night, 10:30 at night. Are there designs on having more fields or ice hockey arenas to play?
Yeah, there's been some ideas like that floating around since about 2012. And right now, we're competing for ice time with the skate club, the youth hockey club, Juneau Douglas Ice Association, ourselves. There's a speed skating club.
High school.
Mm-hmm. So we're all competing for this. And, you know, we've had an explosion of players. There's designs out there. You know, I don't know what the fiscal environment is, but to add another sheet of ice to Treadwell Arena. Mm. We're looking at, you know, things I think about, is there a public-private partnership? Could all the user groups get together and somehow fund another rink somewhere, mm-hmm. with, you know, some agreement with the city? I know there's a middle school in the valley that used to be a high school. It's got three huge parking lots.
Yeah.
And middle schoolers don't drive.
Right.
You know,
right.
That's a great location. You know, things like that. So we're just thinking about what's possible. There's a need here for more ice. Absolutely.
I see. Okay, cool. And then also you had thrown in something about uniform sponsorships. I want to make sure, is that people can, like, businesses can help sponsor, because this is a nonprofit. It's all volunteer run. And so you're looking for people to put logos on uniforms and stuff?
Yeah,
or absolutely. Pay for uniforms?
Yeah, we've got a Temsico sponsored. What's some of our, any business?
UAS. Yep. Temsco, there's
UConn White Pass, Juneau Snowmobile Club.
Louise has got
Island Pub.
Yeah, Island Pub.
Douglas Businesses, that's a great thing out there at Treadwell. That's cool.
KTOL would be a
great. it'd look so great.
Yeah, that would look pretty good on there. I can give you the name of our person. Okay. That'd be great. So that's awesome. It's the Juneau Adult Hockey Association. You can find out more at junohockey.org. There's from beginner to 80 years old. Like you can, or 80 years old beginning. Like it's all good, right? Like this is mostly absolutely. 18 and up, though, right? It's adults.
Adults, yes.
Adults, okay. Because there are so many options for the youngins. So it's really nice that this exists for everybody to be here. So I really appreciate it. Chris Kutu, thank you so much for being here. Caitlin Cardinell and Dom Panone.
Thanks, Boston.
President of the board. Really appreciate y'all being here. Gunnath Cheesh for coming in. Best of luck on the season as it's kicking off pretty soon, right?
Yes.
Yep. We're just ending our fall season. We have winter season beginning in December. We also have a winter jamboree, which is a kind of shortened one month long tournament style.
Oh, I see. Okay. Group. Yeah.
We've got a lot of events if anyone's interested.
It's the one thing that's I know is true about hockey is that it seems to never end. Professional hockey and and even now the Jaha, hockey all the time pretty much. I love it.
We take the summer off to fish and then get right back at it.
It's a lifestyle.
I love it. I appreciate you all being here. This is Juneau Afternoon on KTOO. Gonna cheese.
You're listening to KTOO's Tlingit Word of the Week. This week's word comes from Kushtuk U Bill Fawcett. The word this week is siu.
Siu.
That means rain. And here's a sentence.
Siu. Kunaktak wasitan.
It's really raining. Let's hear it again.
Siu.
Rain. Gunnath Cheesh to Chune Lance Twitchell, Goldbelt Heritage Foundation, and the University of Alaska Southeast for this audio.
Kushtuk o Ish Bill Fawcett was Slukach Adi and the child of a southern Toshone man who passed away before Bill was born. His mother later married Tsihua Bill Fawcett, who helped raise Bill. He lived on Akkwan Ani and enjoyed working with advanced language learners, helping them answer difficult questions about the language.
And tune in next week for another Tlingit Word of the Week from KTOO.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Climate change and pollution harm some communities more than others, and a new play in New York called Sulphur Bottom takes on this real-world injustice with a fictional and at times surreal story. The play centers on a family living next to a toxic waste site, which makes some of them sick and disrupts their lives.
We follow them across four generations of this house as they decide if they leave, if they stay, what they're going to do with it, how it's hurting them, and what the effects are across those 40 years.
In the story, playwright Rishi Varma also includes talking animals, like a beached whale that shows up in the family's living room. He says surreal elements like this encourage the audience to consider the themes of the story from a new perspective. But to stay grounded in how environmental injustice affects real people, Sulphur Bottom has hosted post-show talks with community advocates. And after shows, they gather donations for We Act for Environmental Justice, a nonprofit that advocates on issues like climate adaptation and clean air in low-income areas and communities of color.
Even if it's small, taking some action against environmental injustice is the most important thing we could bring with this play.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Hans and Gress, ka eat with the shoe ye, we kashuk a ye tin. Jin kat ka ke jin ta khanakaya ha anikach, gunish cheesh.
Listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. I am your host, Boston Christopher. And to wrap up our October, we look ahead to November and all the activities and events that the Juno Public Libraries is offering this next month. Joining me in studio now, as usual, is Jen Gardner. Boo!
Same to you.
Gwyneth Cheesh for being here. I know it's not quite November. Is there something happening at the libraries for Halloween?
There is. So actually earlier this week, we had a really cute event, a slightly spooky story time for our little ones. If you did miss out on that, check out our Facebook page because there are some adorable pictures of tiny ghosts and giraffes and porcupines and all kinds of little creatures running around our kids' rooms. So that already happened. But if you missed out on that, tomorrow on Halloween proper, the Douglas Library will be hosting trick-or-treaters and will have a wizarding photo booth set up from 2 until 6. And the Downtown Library will have a spooky photo booth and trick-or-treat goodies from 4 till 6 p.m. So definitely stop by those two locations. We'd love to see your costumes, take some pictures.
I love that. And the downtown one is also probably part of that downtown trick-or-treating situation.
We are definitely in the route. Yep, last year we were part of that, and we hope people will come and join us again this year because we had a lot of fun last year.
And how much candy do you do you have to buy a lot? Or what do you guys...
Well, we do a mix. So we have some edible treats, but we also do some non-food giveaways. So we have bookmarks, pencils, bracelets.
Book stuff.
just other things. So we, we don't hand out maybe as much candy as other places, but we do still have some candy and then some other library-related giveaways.
I think a bookmark is a perfect thing to get into a little goodie bag for Halloween.
Oh, yeah. We love bookmarks.
For sure. Okay, so those are your trick-or-treat options for the libraries tomorrow. And then as we enter November, Jen, what's going on?
Yeah, so coming up, we have an author talk with Tessa Holes, who, of course, is the Pulitzer Prize winner for her graphic memoir, Feeding Ghosts. That's going to be on Wednesday, November 5th from 5 to 7 p.m. in the Valley Library, and we expect that to be a popular event. So, hope to see everybody there for that.
Tessa's book is so amazing. She won the Pulitzer Prize. She lives here in Juneau. She did the logo for KTOO's membership merch this year. It's
fabulous.
A fantastic logo. She's a fantastic artist. I had the opportunity to talk with her a couple weeks ago.
She did the opening talk for the documentary The Librarians that we co-hosted with Gold Town Theater a couple weeks back. It was so great to have her there, and I know a lot of people were not able to get seats that night because we had so many people who wanted to be there. So,
here's
your second chance to hear Tessa at the library. After that, we have an adult education class called The Prepared Pantry, which is an emergency food supplies class with the Cooperative Extension Program through UAF. And that is going to be Thursday, November 6th at 5:30 p.m. at the Downtown Library. This is an event that is basically to help prepare people for times of scarcity. And there's many reasons that that could happen, whether it's a natural disaster, a supply chain issue, or just times of limited income. So we have Sarah Lewis, who's a professor for the UAF Cooperative Extension Program. And she'll be coming to help educate people about how to create and maintain supplies in an emergency pantry, and also how to reduce food waste when things like a freezer outage happens.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it's going to be a really informative class.
Yeah, we had Sarah Lewis and Elizabeth Peisel-Davis on to talk about this new collaboration that y'all are doing.
Right.
Because this is like one of many that are going to be happening over the next, it's going to be like a monthly thing.
Yes. So every month there's going to be a different class for, I think, like the next 6 months or so.
Yeah, something like that.
And our first class was last month, and it was really well received.
Great.
A lot of engagement, a lot of people attended, and I think this one is going to be really great. It is limited to 30 people because it's at the Downtown Library.
Okay.
And so we are requiring registration for the event. So if you are interested, I'd recommend getting registered for that soon. And you can do that on our website if you visit our calendar, or you can go to our Facebook event for the Prepared Pantry on the library Facebook page.
Juno.org/library, and that event is on Thursday, next Thursday, November 6th.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to get registered for that.
Absolutely. Okay. And then another event that I wanted to put some information out about is that we are doing our first ever holiday book fair fundraiser.
Oh.
So we are going to be supplying all a whole bunch of donated new and like new books, as well as some gifts, stocking stuffers, things that have been donated by local businesses and people in the community. And so everything is going to be by donation and directly supporting the library. So this is a chance to come and get some of your holiday shopping out of the way, support the libraries at the same time. Win-win for everybody, we hope. We're going to have some treats and some hot chocolate. We'll also be doing free gift wrapping at this event. So this is going to be Sunday, November 23rd during our open hours in the Valley, noon to 5. So we hope we have lots of people turn up. It's a cash or check only event because it is just by donation. And yeah, so far we have quite a bit of interest on our Facebook event. So check that out. Our Juno Public Library's Facebook page. You can find out more information there.
And what kind of stuff are you going to, like, what kind of books? Is it going to be newer books and things like that?
So we had a really generous donation of brand new books that either are things that we already had in our collection or didn't necessarily need a copy of. And so we had an individual donate a whole bunch of brand new things. So that's going to be kind of the basis for the event.
I see.
And then
okay, cool.
We also have some gently used things that have come from the collection, duplicates, that kind of thing.
Right.
So we'll be adding whatever we can and then soliciting some donations from local businesses who want to support.
That's the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Correct.
Sunday, November 23rd, noon to 5 at the Valley Library. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And what else do we got?
Well, a couple things have just wrapped up. So we had our anniversary party this last weekend, celebrating 10 years at the Valley Library facility in Diamond Park.
Woohoo!
That was fabulous. We had about 270 people visit the library that day, and we had refreshments, face painting, photo ops. We had historic photos up on the walls, and the original guest book from the opening of the Valley Library 10 years ago that people could sign again. And a slideshow of pictures from the last decade in that library. So we had a great time. I will be posting a bunch of photos from that in the coming week or so on our Facebook page. So if you did miss out, you can see some highlights there. And then our annual bookmark contest also just wrapped up, and that's the annual contest for preschool through 12th graders. Our winners have been notified. Our bookmarks are not up yet. It does take time for us to go through and bring the contrast up in the images and print them. So you can expect to see those up at the libraries mid to late November.
And is this a bookmark that I can take home with me?
So we do print the winning bookmarks as bookmarks you can take home with you. And then we put all of the bookmarks up on posters to display. So everybody can come see their entries.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then one other thing I wanted to mention is, do you know about our database Hoopla?
I don't.
So this is a digital resource where you can check out movies, TV shows, music, books, and more. And in the past, it's been limited to 3 items a month. So you can go on there and you can find a documentary or something that you want to watch or listen to, but you can only do 3 a month. So they just introduced something called the bonus borrow. And so if you've already used your 3 checkouts for the month with Hoopla, there's now a certain number of things that you can check out in addition to that. So it's not their full collection, but there's kind of a bonus collection that you can access even if you have already spent all of your credits for the month.
Stuff that might be a little bit older, people aren't checking out as often.
I'm not sure
thing.
How they choose yeah. which ones, but there is a certain collection that they're just opening up, which
That's
is great
cool.
because it just means that you don't have to wait as long to access things on Hoopla anymore.
So is Hoopla a website that I access?
So Hoopla is a database. So we as a library subscribe to certain online resources that all of our patrons, if you have a library card, you can use it. So for example, the Alaska Digital Library, you mm-hmm. can get on the Libby app, and if you have a library card number, you have access to that whole collection.
Oh,
same
wow.
with Comics Plus. If you have a library card with us, you can go to the Comics Plus database and access thousands of comics and graphic novels for free. So Hoopla is another
wow.
one of those services that Juneau Public Libraries has a subscription to, so we as a library pay so that our patrons can access this for free. And Hoopla has a whole mix of media. So they have music, they have audiobooks, they have movies, all kinds of things. So if you aren't using our digital resources yet, just know that this is something that's available to us, all for free. So if you go to juneau.org/library and look at our digital resources page, there are a lot of things that you can get for free.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
So, I mean, yeah, that's amazing. Like you can just get things digitally, like TV shows and documentaries and.
We are so lucky with how much access we have. We have a great physical collection. We have access to so many items across the state because we're part of a consortium, all for free. We have access to free interlibrary loans for things coming up from down south.
Mm.
And then we also have all of these digital things that you can check out on your device or just look at on your browser. And those are all
cool.
for free as well.
Juneau.org/library. Quickly before we have to end, Jen, remind us of the dates that you're closed. There's a lot of dates coming up that you're going to be closed.
Yeah, so in November, we close for Veterans Day on November 11th. We also close for Thanksgiving the 27th and the day after Thanksgiving the 28th. Otherwise, we're open 7 days a week at 3 locations.
Okay, and of course, you can always subscribe to the newsletter. You can follow the library on social media. You can go to the Facebook page, see the cute pictures of the kids from the spooky story time the other day. It's all available to you, and it's free, which
Everything is free.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Juneau.org/library. Jen, thanks for coming in this month and telling us all about it. I really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having us.
Gonna cheese. And that's going to do it for Juneau Afternoon today. Local connection, local stories right here in the capital city. Programming note, tomorrow we will revisit Folkfest 2025 with a look back at some of the artists and songs that played here on the red carpet stage during Folkfest Week. Juneau Afternoon airs Wednesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTO Juneau 104.3 and KAUK Juneau Auk Bay 91.7. You can find the show online at kto.org/JuneauAfternoon. You can subscribe to the podcast, listen to episodes, offer feedback or suggestions, or find out how to be a guest on the show. You can also find live stream archives on KTOO's YouTube page. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Good cheese. Have a great holiday.